right people come together at the right moment, when they care almost as much about winning as they do about each other, they can become the best of the best.
Welcome to the best soccer show. The best soccer show in the whole world.
Here we go. It's the best soccer show. Jason Davis, Jared Dubois. We are live on a Sunday night. I feel weird putting all that energy into the open of the show, Jerry.
Less energy than MMA midfield.
It's a wake, right? This is a funeral that we're having today.
Yeah, I'm not going to go that far. I don't know. It's kind of like when you're, I think it's empty nester kind of thing more. Like your kids go off. Like it's the end of a phase, but a beginning of another.
Okay. That's interesting. I want you to put a pin in that feeling with this team and that thing. Because I was thinking before, you know, like I went through my Sunday with the family. We did the church thing. We went to Costco. That's what everybody does in the suburbs. You go to church and go to Costco.
Oh, I don't go to Costco. My wife knows.
No.
I don't go.
You can't do it?
I can't handle it. No, I can't stand a bunch of overweight Americans thrashing through the aisles lined up to get a sample of a piece of food this big because it's free. I'm like, I'm trying to get in and out of here, man. I'm trying to get out of here.
Most of the people in my local Costco are relatively well-behaved when it comes to free samples. However, there is absolutely no rules when it comes to pushing. I'm standing behind a bunch of people because there's a log jam. There's some jam up in the aisle. And this lady, little tiny lady, 5 foot nothing, comes like buzzing through like she's like she it just gets to go ahead. I'm like, wait, hold on. Wait a second.
Needs a little piece of chimichanga.
So anyway, did the whole family thing today. And I was thinking about this show. It's not that I wasn't excited to talk to you, to talk to our besties, to talk about American soccer. I love it. I love doing this. I wouldn't be doing the job that I do on the radio show, which can't remember if you know about the radio show or not. Do you know about the radio show?
It's the one on the Fox channel this month, right?
WNBC. Yeah. WNBC.
I wouldn't be doing that
job. So what do you do with Tommy Smith?
Yeah, I do it with Tommy Smith sometimes. Tommy's fun.
I know. I've been listening, actually.
I wouldn't be doing that job if I didn't have this show, if we didn't start this 10 years ago and all that. I love this show. But, man, I'm just gassed. Like, I'm just over it. Yeah, after what happened on Saturday morning, yesterday morning, feels like a lifetime ago already, I'm just kind of, like, I did watch Australia and Argentina because it was right after the U.S. game, and I was still feeling like, okay, whatever, I don't know, upset, but not angry, but just okay, let me just focus on something else. I did not watch either game today, and I could have.
I watched the highlights, but I didn't watch the actual
games. I haven't even checked the highlights yet. I don't know who scored for England. I know they won. That's all I know. I know France won.
I actually played disc golf with one of our listeners today.
Oh, that's great. Who was that? Shout out.
Thomas. Thomas is one of our listeners, and he actually had to update me on the scores. I forgot the games were even going on.
I knew there were games.
Eventually, he was like, Henderson scored. I'm like, I forgot that game was going on.
Holy crap, I had no idea. Look, it's not that I don't care about the World Cup anymore, and I will get back to it. And I have four shifts this week when I've only had a couple the last couple weeks because of the group stage. So I'm going to be engaged in again. But I didn't want any soccer after what happened. I just didn't want any soccer. And I wasn't angry,
okay,
Jared. I wasn't pissed off. And I know there are going to be pissed off people. Where the phone lines are open, 717-727-2378. As soon as you dial up, Nicholas Supensalo will be there to answer the phone so you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. And there are lots of things to get into. Yeah. I understand there's going to be anger.
Where are you at in your process?
People are going to lash out at Greg Berhalter. They're going to be pissed about whatever. Whatever it is that you're pissed about. I get it. I understand. I'm just not there.
It may not be pissed, though. It may not be pissed. There may be general contentment. There may be.
Could be. Could be.
I mean, pride. Like, I'm proud of the job these boys did
over
there.
Could be pride. Could be pride.
And I think, for me personally, I went into the Netherlands game with an extremely shocking little bit of nerves. Unlike the first three games, because I think at that point I was like, okay, we've checked the initial box. We checked the minimum box.
You thought we were playing with house money in the round of 16.
I did have that kind of feel. Yeah, okay. I had that feeling. But I also thought, like, oh, it's like, I think it's a coin flip. I think we had a chance to win that game.
That's where, and again, I'm not even sure I'm disappointed. BMR209 says disappointment is how he feels. Disappointment. But I'm not even sure I'm disappointed. It's kind of like, okay, it happened the way it happened. What can I do about it? I mean, I can't do anything about it, right? I can just, I don't want to be sad. I don't want to be disappointed in this team that gave so much and worked so hard. And look, I know that a lot of the anger, a lot of the disappointment is going to be directed at Greg Berhalter because of choices he made, and we will talk about those choices. But even that, when we talk out the game in a little while, I'm not so sure if there aren't just a couple of things that, you know, if they'd gone the other way, change the whole complexion of that game. Like, I don't know. Like, is it something somebody did? I mean, can I be mad at Tyler Adams for not tracking Memphis Depay on that first goal? Can I be mad at him for that? He gave so much.
I guess I'm more frustrated than anything. I think for me, it was very frustrating to put in the shifts that these guys did for the first three games and be so tight and so just so good behind the ball. To have the same thing happen
twice,
three times. All
yeah.
three.
Yeah. Well, same thing. The back door, right? The back door. If you're watching the video right now, or if you watch back on YouTube later, you can see what Jared tweeted about the U.S. defending the back door. I'm not going to tell people on the podcast. You have to go find the video. Go find the video.
You have to find the 6 minute and 30 second mark of the video. But that's something that's very frustrating to me in that. To do all the dirty work that these guys had to do for three games, and then to let one of the first things you learn when you learn how to play defense in this sport is the trash gets picked up at the back door. That's always the way it is, and you have to look over your shoulder. And to have such a simple thing railroad us on this is very, very frustrating. It's not like someone scored a worldie you couldn't do anything about.
Right.
It's not like you were dominated the whole game and you were just outclassed. They weren't outclassed.
Yeah.
Now, they were outclassed a few times in possession, and they were resulting in unfortunate goals at the back post that are completely avoidable.
So that's the thing. Like, and I do want feelings. Like, if you want to talk about Berhalter and his choices, you want to talk about team selection, you want to talk about the game itself, absolutely feel free to call us up at 717-727-2378. If you want to just give us your feelings, you can do all that too. I will get to some of that. The idea, I know there's been, you know, in the aftermath, again, I shut the world out. Basically, when it came to soccer, I did other things. I did family things. Yeah. I went and visited some friends and barely talked about soccer at all. I watched my kids be crazy, that kind of thing, which was good. That was an escape for me. I know, and I barely checked it today, but I know that afterwards, Berhalter was saying stuff like, you know, we dominated that game and you know, a couple of bad moments. And first of all, I don't blame Berhalter for shining his team up. Like, I don't blame him. After everything they did, he's going to say things like, we were very, very good and got unlucky. That's what coaches in that position say.
You can say a lot of things about Berhalter. He truly, genuinely cares about these young guys and bringing them up as professionals. Like,
absolutely.
He realized that part of his job wasn't just to get the X's and O's right, which was probably one of his biggest failings. It was to groom this next level of soccer players that are anywhere from 19 to 24 years old over this cycle. And get them ready for the next one. Get them ready for this one, too. But also groom them into being the men they need to be for the next stage of their careers, whether he's a part of it or not. And in that respect, I think he did a good job. One of the best things he did was making Tyler Adams captain for this World Cup.
Sure.
Now, you could ask yourself, man, was this midfield capable with Mester McKinney coming in injured, you know, and Yunus Musa being as young as he
20
is,
years like, old. Turned 20 during the tournament, yep.
Did they have four starts in them? Four consecutive starts.
Did they have four full throttle starts in them?
But you can also ask yourself, what were the options off the bench? Because we don't know if Luca Dellatore to this point was even injured or good to go.
Well, he
didn't play a minute.
He didn't play a minute. Which by the way, like I don't think that, I think there's a massive drop off from Eunice/Weston to Luca to whoever's next. I get that there's a massive drop off from that. Georgi Mihajlović, whoever it is. I don't really know that there could have been a better option, but maybe somebody who was fit. because I don't think that Luka was fit. Although he might have just rolled out with the best team he's got because there's so much of a drop-off.
But also, like, you got to get kids 20 years old. He probably can run all day. But you saw it at the end of the Iran game.
The concentration. The concentration. And look, again, I know that there was a... I'm going to get to the phones in a second, guys. So hold on a sec. Hold on. But I know Carly Lloyd took a shot at Tyler Adams and his fitness levels. On Twitter. It was something about how are you not there at 23 years old to push through and track Memphis Depay. I think it was about the Depay goal. Maybe it wasn't.
Only 30 minutes regardless. In, too. It's not like this is the 85th
minute. No, sure. But again, I mean, it's such a weird thing after what he did through three games to suddenly say, oh, what a disaster, Tyler.
Yeah, but it doesn't make him immune from criticism just because he had three good games.
No,
I know.
But that's what I'm saying.
That is a basic track back run that needs to be made.
I understand that I do. He's not immune from criticism, but that's the feeling. I don't want to get to that play. I'm empty.
Still the player of the tournament for the U.S.
I'm just empty. So I don't have the capacity to be angry about it or to call him out and make this big thing about it. Even though, if he tracks Memphis, maybe there's no goal. By the way, if Christian Pulisic finishes his chance, it's a completely different game, right? Yeah. And if Haji Wright
is in a shape for to get
if
counted
Haji
like
Wright
that,
takes a halfway decent touch or tries to chip Nupert, I don't know, maybe he can chip him from there, then it's a different game. It is. It's a different game. Okay, let's go to Frank in the OC, our boy Frank. What's up, Frank?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Frank is down low.
From the tone of my voice, you guys can tell I'm pretty sad. But I'm also not surprised. And I'll try to make this quick because I know you guys have probably a few more callers. But I heard Eric Winalda say something on the radio, and he pretty much echoed something that I agreed with.
Okay.
I'm not proud of this team.
okay.
I feel the same way I felt in 2014. And yes, we finally made it to the World Cup after not qualifying, but we're pretty much back in the same spot.
How can we possibly be in the same spot with a 20 average age of 25 on the field in that game, an average age across the starting lineup, you know, of how could we possibly be in the same place?
Did we make the quarterfinals?
No, I understand that you're saying that we went out the same point. You're telling me that the feeling... Okay.
That 2014 team is a Landon Donovan-less team that had to be phased out, had tons of internal strife because of the fact that Landon Donovan didn't get chosen to go. You mm-hmm. have you have a aged team that was...
Jozy Altidore injured in the first game.
Yeah, you have an aged Jermaine Jones. You have Chris Wondolowski was your level of striker. To say what you want to say about the three that were there, I still think they're better than Chris Wondolowski. Just me personally, you know, as an MLS
striker.
The
three in this team?
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. I don't even think that's where you have to go. I'm like, Frank, give me a second, because I know that I know what you're saying. Okay, I get the vibe of this, and I don't know what Eric said, and you know. We all got a complicated relationship with Eric Winalda, and hopefully I get a chance to talk to him at some point in the near future about how he feels about this. I get that we are waiting to crest the hill, that after 2002, right, which I've argued was sort of this weird, it wasn't a golden generation, but it was sort of a golden team in the way that it came together, and we haven't seen that since then, right? That the players that have spread out so far and wide now that it makes it harder to bring together a team and have them play cohesive soccer. Right, that happened in 2010. It happened in 2014. Both those teams made the knockout rounds. Obviously, against Ghana, that felt like the biggest letdown because Ghana was beatable. We had won that group in 2010.
We shot ourselves in the foot with that. Was it Rico Clark?
Rico Clark. But think about that level of midfielder that we took to that tournament, and Rico Clark. Okay, and then 2014. 2014, we got played off the field by Belgium. We got destroyed by Belgium. The only difference was Timmy Howard in goal. I can't buy the idea.
I don't think the Netherlands played us off the field.
No, not at all.
The result may have been poor.
Tactically speaking, if you want to argue that Louis van Gaal whipped Greg Berhalter tactically, fine, you can do that. But in terms of what the players did on the field and how they created chances... Right. Again, goals change games. If Pulisic finishes, it's a different game because they're playing from the front. I just and obviously the letdown of the goal right before halftime was the backbreaker. Yeah. But that's the naivety of this team. That's the youth of this team coming out. Sorry. Go ahead, Frank.
No. And I get all that. And I don't disagree with you, man. It's just that ever since Jürgen Klinsmann came in, and I'm not going to make this about Jürgen Klinsmann, but when Jürgen Klinsmann came in, I was sold all these promises. Like, okay, finally, we have something, someone that's going to change this program. And that cycle happened. He left. And yes, I get that we have better players now. It's just that I'm going to base this on the result, and I get that the result isn't the end-all, be-all, but we're – I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm not let down. I'm just not surprised, and I'm not sure if that's better or worse.
Okay.
Frank kind of gives me an idea for like a real quick segment, and I know
I'm gonna let Frank
Jason,
go because we got other people waiting.
I know we have Jason on the line as well, but just real quick, from 1994 to now, real quick, rank your World Cup performances for the U.S. 1994 to present.
Rank the let's
2002 is easily the best, right?
Yeah, 2002 is number one. I would put 2010 number two because they won the group.
Yeah, I think 2008 and being so close to getting that result, too, if it wasn't for one bad mistake. I think that team was, unlike the team now, that team was purely in the prime. The Project 2010 program was right in its prime at that point.
But talent, well, okay, that's a Donovan in his prime. That's a very
Tim
good
Howard in his prime.
Clint Dempsey, Tim Howard.
Josie Altidore's in his prime at that point.
Michael Bradley was still pretty young in that team. Yeah. Josie Altidore was good.
You got Bocanegra and Demerit in the back.
Sure, but again, you ended up with Rico Clark on the field against Ghana, right? What was that midfield? What did that midfield look like? Michael Bradley and who else? It's pre-Jermaine Jones. Who?
Wasn't it Rico Clark?
Did he start every game of that tournament? I don't remember.
I don't recall if he was
okay.
a center midfielder.
We have to go
not,
back. But there was issues in midfield in terms of depth.
But everything
and
else
quality.
We said, if there's one position on the field that's lower class in that Rico Clark, if you want to phase it that way, it could have been recent dude, actually. I'm not positive.
Mo was on the Mo played in 2000.
But that being said, everyone else we talked about just now. Yeah. Yeah. Our all-time players for the U.S. That was a prime team. Sure. That was the year that they were going to do something if they're going to do something.
Yeah, and still,
I agree
still,
with you. I think 2002
you know what?
And 2010.
The funny thing is that was not really an out-the-door team. He was very young on that team. I don't think he played a huge role because that was supposed to be Charlie Davies' team. He was in the car wreck. Yeah. We ended up taking Robbie Finley as a compliment. So anyway, I would say 2002. I guess 2010 because they won the group. Although that I've seen some difference of opinion.
I would do 22 the next after that, to be honest
okay,
with you.
Okay, after 2010 or right after 2002? Let's see, there's
no,
second
no,
or
2010,
third.
The 2002, 2010, then 2022 for me. Mm-hmm. I think I rate that a little bit higher than 2014 because while the result was the same, I think Belgium outclassed the U.S., and I don't think the U.S. was outclassed by the Netherlands. They just got hit, you know, a little bit by a team that was more mature.
Yeah,
are
and
you,
Knoppert
you
made
argue 2022 third?
Knoppert made some saves. We were bitten by the fact we don't have a clinical striker. I mean, I don't know that Josh Sargent scores that goal, but I think it's a better opportunity if Sargent is in the game. I think obviously the Ferreira choice was largely dictated by the fact that Sargent was injured. And I know that the debate is he should have played Tim Weah through the middle. I guess you could have done that. It's a different kind of approach, but sure, you could have done that. I know
that's
where
to wrap it up real quick because we got callers coming on. So after 2022, are you going 2014 or 94 after that?
Man, 94 is only even in the conversation because it was here and there was a new team. That team, no, it's 2014. Which they got out of a group of Germany and Portugal and Ghana. So give them credit for that.
After that, 94, and then lastly, 98.
98 is, and 06. 06 is right before 98.
Oh, excuse me. I would put, 98 is still last. Yeah.
Yeah, well, they finished last in 98, so you kind of got to put it last. All right, let's go to Jason in Ohio. Jason, you're on the Best Soccer Show.
Hey, Jason. Hey, Jared. How are you guys?
What's up, buddy?
Processing.
Not much, man. Yeah, a lot of processing today. I don't think I'm not disappointed in how this team played in this World Cup. I'm not.
That's
right. You know, we got out of the group. We gave England hell for 90 minutes. We could have easily beaten Wales. We made a few mistakes yesterday that cost us the game.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, I'm not going to fault any one of the players individually because, you know, these kids are young. This is a young group of players. I want to see what this group does in 4 years. And then I'll maybe have a better judgment on what this team did in this World Cup.
That's the difference here, Jared. That's the thing about this team. Well, hold on real quick, Jason. The only reason that I'm not crushed, I know it's 4 years is a long time. I'm going to be ancient by the time we get to 2026. But it is coming here. The reason I'm not crushed is because this is the beginning for this group. You didn't have the same vibe in 2010. That was in their prime team, as you said. Yeah. A lot of those guys were going to age out. 2014, we didn't know Jermaine Jones was coming. He did come in, and he made a difference. 2014, though, you know, there was...
2014 is tough. Julian Green over Landon Donovan. Like, there was things that were going on.
There were very good players in that team, and there were some good young players in that team, but not on this level. And
but
not
it started in a place of friction. You know, that tournament started in a place of friction, where I don't think this team did. It was everyone had hopes. And I think, in listening to the Jason talk just now, I think it's important to differentiate, and it's okay to do this. I'm not disappointed with the World Cup for the U.S. I'm disappointed in the last result, but I'm not disappointed in the... And it's okay to have disappointment, but I think for most people, they're not saying that this is a disappointing World Cup. It's just a disappointing result at the end of this.
Yeah, I suppose that's right. I suppose that's right. All right, Jason, anything else? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine, Jason. I'll agree with Jared. I may be disappointed in the final result of the game yesterday, but I'm not disappointed in the tournament as a whole. But I will say this. I think Greg Berhalter this team has gotten as far as they can with Greg Berhalter as the manager. I think to get to where we want to go, I don't know if Greg is the manager to get us there.
That's a question we have to ponder. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to talk about that, okay? I mean, if anybody wants to call up and levy their feelings about that, feel free. Jared, do you want to go on the record right now since Jason brought it up?
Yeah, I think I talked about it a little bit earlier. I never really thought that Berhalter was the right choice for this, but I'm coming around to a different version. I said it earlier. This team, given the players that they had, the ages that they had, I think that Berhalter did a good job of grooming this group of young players to be ready.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now, this team was not, and now he obviously failed for Mexico, so it's another thing. But remember, Tata was on the market. Everybody's clamoring for Tata off the back of what he did with Atlanta and all that stuff. Actually, trying to remember the timeline there. But it was not going to be a good fit for the sort of South American, hands off, I'm in my office, you're in there, over there, we do train. You know, that was not going to be the vibe that worked with this group at all. I get what you're saying.
Does anyone doubt that these guys were all in it for each other? Like, no, this team was united, this team was ready, they were brothers out there. Like, this team had a ton of things that were right. And we tend not to give Berhalter any credit for that and saying it's just the players. But you have to give him credit for the fact that he had a team together, motivated, and ready to play. Sure. Have a ton of issues with X's and O's decisions strategically over the course of not just this tournament, but his entire career. But that's why I think that it's time to take this to... Tata Martino would not have been the right coach because we didn't have the talent for him to just play strategy with. You needed to develop. He brought in Dest. He brought in Anthony Robinson. He brought in Yunus Musa. Like, he brought in these guys. Now the table is set for the next guy to come and say, here's the paints. Go put something on the canvas. And I think that's not for Berhalter to do.
That's right. I think that's probably right. Now, look, again, I understand. I spent hours of my life on the radio yelling and screaming about how U.S. soccer botched the coaching hiring or the hiring of Greg Berhalter, the hiring of the next coach after Bruce Arena left and the failure to qualify for 2018. I said it was ridiculous. It took as long as it did. That it was insane that they even went in a direction where this idea of nepotism could be thrown out, which I don't think that they chose Greg Berhalter because he was Jay's brother, but I think that they chose a guy who was within the community, right? The inner circle of American soccer coaches. And there weren't that many guys who were probably ready for that job. Ready is not the right word. Who were willing to take the job, who were in a position where you could kind of massage the resume and say, well, they're up and coming, right? Because, look, again, Tata was not the right fit. Who else are you going to... Lopetegui? Are you serious? Like, what are we talking about here? Who else was out there that was the right fit? I don't know there is one. So you took the best option you had. He got this team together. He went over, I mean, again, Berhalter got a lot of praise from some of the European coaches and things during this tournament for how the U.S. played, and give him credit for that. But he didn't adjust well in games. I think he screwed up his personnel a couple of times. We saw that, like, a number of times. And so he is an imperfect coach, but I'm not sure there was a better option. Now it's a question of who wants the job and who's ready and how much is U.S. soccer willing to pay right now, Jared?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think Berhalter was 2 for 2 in terms of coaching. I think he got outcoached in the Wales game and the Netherlands game. But I think he got the better of Gareth Southgate and Carlos Queiroz. I think he got the better of both of those two coaches, and I think he was 2 for 2. But the problem is, you need a coach that's got enough swagger and enough composure to not go 50% in this. You know, like, you make the adjustments on the fly. And I credit to Berhalter. He got his 11s right multiple times. He got his, for the most part, his 26-man roster was pretty good. In hindsight, it was pretty good. He didn't have, the only thing you can say is maybe the striker. But bringing Tim Ream in, you got to give him credit for that. And starting him every game.
Right. He wasn't, Tim Ream was lights out. He didn't bat 1,000. He might have hit 500. I think there were a couple of choices.
Berhalter or Ream?
We're talking about picking his choices. But
you and I sat here and said that he has guys that they're no matter what, he's going to pick because they're Berhalter guys. And then he went away from that. And he made the harder decisions. That being said, still, I think there's some things that were just not quite right. But like I said before, the next coach needs to be the guy that's going to paint the canvas. You need a maestro. You need an artist. You need a guy that's...
Who is it?
I'll put a couple guys out there, but I'm going to say this first of all. I don't think there's an American coach that's ready. I don't think there's an American coach that's ready.
So let's just do this real quick. Let's do this business.
Yeah.
Jesse Marsh is not taking this job. Okay?
Even if he's unemployed, I don't think
he's not taking the job now. He's not taking the job in 2023. Yeah. After that, you're talking about having to make a change with whoever you hired initially, and I hope that's not where we're at, right? I hope we're not pulling a Mexico or pulling a, I don't know, Iran or whoever has made some late changes. I don't want to see that. Okay, you're going to give us a list, Jared, or a couple of names. Jason, anything else?
No, I'm good, guys. Thanks, guys.
Okay, appreciate it. Jason in Ohio.
You know, JTG's in the chat, and he put out Jared, the next coach, or is there a caretaker for a year and a half? Man, I just don't see. I think these guys, because we talked about hashtag Vibe Squad, right? And these guys have those kind of vibes. I think you do wrong by them.
A caretaker for a year and a half because you're in the post-World Cup period and you haven't ramped up to... There's no qualifying.
Maybe you don't like any of the options that are out there right now. You know, and here's the thing. There is no qualifying, like you said. Like, you can... There is no pressure to be ready for a certain point other than 2026. That's also one of the challenges, though.
The only hope, and it's not qualifying, but the only hope is a Copa America invite.
I do think the U.S. having automatic qualification maybe opens it up to some coaches that maybe they wouldn't get otherwise, because who doesn't want a sure thing?
You're saying that there are people who don't want to go to San Salvador and don't want to go to Honduras and don't want to go to Mexico City? Is that what you're telling me?
Your job's already secured. Now there's probably a lot less incentives.
I hear Mexico City is one of the great food cities of the world.
I've actually heard that as well.
Yeah. Okay, why wouldn't you want to go to Mexico City?
Why would you want to go through the stress of qualifying if you don't have to?
So this is the thing. Okay, there's a type of manager who wants to be involved in the international game. They are not normal, okay? Managers in general aren't normal, right? But there is a type of manager who's more inclined to the international game with its weird rhythms and the limited camps and the limited time and all those things. Most of the people who are available to be an international manager are failed club coaches or guys who have aged out of club coaching, right? That's basically where Tata is.
Yeah, I mean, there is the younger guys like the Roberto Martinez, which a lot of people have on their list.
Tell me, there were a lot of big clubs clamoring for Roberto Martinez to be their manager.
We're not a big club.
No. Tell me, there were a lot of teams looking for Roberto Martinez to be their manager before he decided to coach Belgium. What I'm saying is his options were limited, which is why he took the Belgium job.
Okay, I mean, that's a hell of a nice job to find yourself in, though. Come on.
Again, and Roberto Martinez is a guy who also likes to go and do television, and he's this affable dude. I'm just saying he's not really what we're talking about. When we talk about this painting, this maestro, Jared, when you're talking Pep Guardiola, Jurgen Klopp,
haven't done international, you know, but
they're
still,
not going to, and they're not going to anytime soon. They're not going to coach. Pep Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp are not walking through that
here's
door.
What
so
I
who
want,
is?
The I don't know the name, but the template that I want is the guy who has a track record of looking at the pool and saying, what's the right system and what's the right strategy for the pool? Not, I have a system I'm bringing in here and we have to fit a way into it, which is the way I feel that Berhalter at times played. And it's how I believe Jesse Marsh would coach if he was to coach as well. Jesse Marsh has a style of play he wants to do, at least at the club level. We're judging him based off
a negative.
We have
no idea what he would do with this team.
A vacuum. When you look out there, you would love to see someone like Van Gaal, but health-wise, you don't know if he has another, wants to go through this again for another 4 years where he is with cancer and stuff like that, you know? Carlos Queiroz has a track record of liking the U.S., but he doesn't have a track record of coaching big teams. You know, he has a great assistant coaching record. I don't know what it is. Roberto Martinez's name is everywhere before the World Cup. Now Belgium crashes out, and it makes you wonder if he has the ability to do it. Tata Martino's tainted goods.
You're not going to get somebody with a successful record in the international game. I don't think you're going to get somebody who's been to a semifinal or won a World Cup or anything like. You're not going to get that guy, right? So, like Connor's saying, Southgate. Now, Southgate's time is probably up with England.
True.
I mean, let's just ponder it for a second.
That's a soft landing for Southgate. I'm saying that's
Would you be okay with Gareth Southgate becoming the next manager of the U.S. men's national team?
I'm going to say no, and here's why. I think Southgate is to Berhalter for England as Berhalter is to the U.S. I think he came into a great set of talents, and he's done a good job of bringing them up to be good young men ready to play, but I don't think he's an X's and O's coach. I don't. I think if you ask the average English fan, they're going to say the same thing as well.
You can argue about his
choices.
I think
their talent is making him look better than he is.
No. You can argue about his choices, but I think what Gareth Southgate is what a lot of coaches turn into when they become international managers. He is a guy who reverts to the conservative, which pisses off people who want to see the team utilize the talent available to go and play swashbuckling soccer. But his attitude is, let's be solid at the back, let's not give up a bunch of cheap goals. And what does that do? That limits how aggressive his team is, right? Yeah. And this is why, the shackles are off against Iran. No, they beat Senegal 3-0 today. I still don't know who scored those goals. Maybe the shackles are off now completely. I don't know. But Gareth Southgate has a reputation for being a conservative manager internationally. And, you know, Berhalter kind of had the same instincts, right? Yeah. I don't know. And Queiroz isn't going to come in and change anything. Carlos Queiroz is going to play.
Guys that are going to be out of a job. Hansi Flick's going to be out of a job, right? Like, he's available. Is that a guy you want to bring in?
Well, speaking of Hansi Flick, Yogi Love is out there doing what? Picking his nose somewhere? I don't know what he's doing.
A man knows how to pick a winner, you know? Yeah. So I'll say also, let's say France win or lose. Does Didier Deschamps do another run? Does he do another run?
I don't want
Didier
Deschamps. No. I don't want Didier Deschamps. No, I don't want to. I don't think France. I don't think French. I know there was some idea about Arsene Wenger. He's too old now.
I'm going to give you a name that I think that a lot of guys haven't thought about, but I think would be freaking fantastic for us.
Oh, we're going to the uncensored version of the show. Go to the Patreon.
If I was going to pick a guy, Luis Enrique.
Yeah, I mean, that would be lovely.
If I could pick a guy. I don't know if he's going to be with Spain next session, but I don't know if he's going to go next season.
He's got a young team. I mean, I don't know if they're going to re-up him. We'll see
what he's doing with the young team right now. Look what he's doing with the young team.
Why would he want to leave?
You just asked me a name. You didn't say who's available. I don't know who's going to be available. We don't know what
these guys are
going to
do. This is why this conversation makes no sense to have right now. And again, how much does it...
You've never had a conversation like, oh man, if you could have one supermodel, who would it be? Come on, we all have limitations we're not going to reach, but stop us from dreaming.
You're right. Fine. Let's dream. Let's have all these conversations. But the problem is, there are factors involved we don't know. We don't know who's going to be available. We don't know actually the timeline. Again, JTT saying, what about a caretaker for a year and a half before you get into the real run-up to 2026? I don't know. Is there a manager right now in the world who's worth his salt who's going to want to drop whatever he's doing or come off of the, you know, come out of semi-retirement or sitting at home or whatever or driving race cars? What is Andres Villas-Boas doing? Because everybody's talking about AVB. I don't know what he's doing right now. whatever he's doing, who's going to want to come and be the manager, the head coach of a team that's not going to play a significantly important game? Because the Gold Cup isn't going to measure up for a lot of these guys.
Maybe we get to Copa America. We can talk about that
maybe
later.
But that's set in stone, right? If you can put that in front of them, say, hey, you get to coach in a Copa America, maybe that you get a big name. But who's going to want to take this job 3.5 years away from the next World Cup? Who's going to want to do that? You play games in February, right? There are games scheduled for the U.S. men's national team in February. They have to have somebody, right?
Yeah, I don't know what Berhalter's contract is. Obviously, we would have heard if he had last kick of the ball kind of thing, like Tata Martino or something like that. We haven't heard when he's if he's officially done at the end of the World Cup or if he has a grace period. I'm not sure what that's going to be. Right now, I'm expecting Berhalter to potentially be coaching in February I think it's okay to negotiate with Berhalter while you're negotiating with everyone else.
So Corey is pointing this out, that Berhalter's probably going to come back because U.S. soccer has a habit of bringing coaches back, right? They all start the next cycle. So Bradley came back and coached until the 2011 Gold Cup when he got fired after they lost to Mexico at the Rose Bowl. Klinsmann obviously came back and coached into qualifying before getting fired.
This isn't Sunil Gulati's U.S. Soccer Federation anymore.
No, I wanted to get to. I don't know if Cindy Parlow-Cohn is the one who's going to be leading this. I don't know if Ernie Stewart's making this decision. If it's Ernie Stewart, I have no
faith
that they're not going
to be honest with you. I think he's...
I hope it's Ernie Stewart and he makes the right choice, because I don't know that he will.
Agreed, but I don't know. I think Ernie Stewart has... I know at the union he didn't set every foot right, but at the national team level, bringing in Brian McBride, I don't know exactly what his feeling is, but I like having Brian McBride involved. There's like... Okay. I don't know. Berhalter, at the end of the day, did the job. And he got us to the point that we needed to be, at least in this initial phase. Yeah. He's not the right guy for the next round. But give Ernie Stewart a chance, and let's see what he does.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. I've been making people wait, and my apologies for that. Devin in Atlanta, you're on the air. What's up?
Jason, what's going on, man? And Jared as well. I'm not disappointed, but I'm also Dutch by blood. So congratulations to Holland. There are some names. I wasn't ready to talk coaches, but there's two names that I think you guys have overlooked. I'm not sure if it's been mentioned in the chat, but Thomas Tuchel is available, as is Domenico Tedesco. Both successful, both young, both run a very tough system.
Who was the second one he said?
Tedesco. Now let me say something real quick, Devin, before you go on, because those are good names, right? Those are somewhat plausible names. They are names. This is an interesting one, which, again, you have to consider. Is U.S. soccer from UC whatever his name is, 31, is U.S. soccer actually going to hire a non-American head coach, a foreign head coach, for an American World Cup?
Done it before.
Bora Milutinovic.
Yes, but again, let's go back to 94 and think about what the state of American soccer was at that point.
Well, Bruce Arena was winning college championships in 94. They could have chosen him if they wanted to, just saying.
They could have. They could have. You're right. They brought Bora up after his time with Mexico. Go ahead.
With this upcoming World Cup, I don't care if it's an American manager. I want to win.
Does U.S. soccer care, Devin?
Well, have they done anything to get out of their own way? I mean, you said nepotism. I didn't. But Jay Berhalter and Greg Berhalter were both there, and they both they both made the decisions for this team. You left Ricardo Pepi, Jordan Pefock, Malik Tillman, Brandon Vasquez, and Paul Areola sitting at home, and then you're going to have the gall to say that you didn't have a number 9 out-and-out striker? That's on you, Greg. Greg O from the MLS with 3 G's.
Yeah, that's
you know,
fair.
Like we need to be real.
Okay.
I'll say this. You bring up Tuchel, you bring up Tedesco. With the way this team currently has such a good feel around it, I don't think you bring two of the coaches that didn't believe in two of your star players. You know, Adams
That's
didn't get time against Leipzig. And
that's interesting.
Plissé didn't get time with Tuchel. So why would you bring in guys?
Well, they're not idiots either. And they know and they understand the difference between the pool that they have.
Yeah, but you have to start your career with the national team, making good with two of your star players.
I understand. I'm going to say, though, I hate to do this. I'm sorry, Devin, but there's no chance Thomas Tuchel takes this job, barring a truckload of money being backed up to his front door. Yeah. And Tedesco, I mean,
truck up.
But I don't think that's okay. You don't sacrifice. Okay, I don't want to get into this because this is involving budgets and where money goes. And I know U.S. soccer doesn't have a great reputation.
He has no pedigree as an international coach.
No,
they're two different things.
They are two different things.
I mean, that being said,
one thing real quick on the difference in years, Jared, because like honestly, man, did you make a difference between when you were 19 and when you were 27? Because that's literally what we're asking about Christian Pulisic. Like when you were 19, were you the same person that you were 8 years later? Because we have to think about 2026 now. And all the youth and everything that we just saw, great. I'm proud of you. You ran your legs out. Yunus Musah, I hope that you can continue to take that next step and become a Bukayo Saka-level star boy. Haaland, shout out to the Haaland. And by the way, it was Jordan Henderson, Harry Kane, and Bukayo Saka that scored for England today.
Okay.
But these players need to take that step, and you can't have another kid gloves manager. Greg was the guy that would cry with them and hug them and tell them everything was going to be okay. You need someone to kick him in the pants going forward. Love the show, guys. Okay. I'll stay tuned.
All right, appreciate it, Devin. There are a couple calls I got to get to. I will say that the only twist on this, will U.S. soccer pick a non-American coach, that I can imagine might be, and look, I do hope they are open-minded. I do hope they are not locked down to, we got to have an American coach for an American World Cup. An American who's, or a coach who's worked in the United States, who maybe understands the U.S., you know, that's always an argument. Got to understand the American player. I don't know that we're there anymore with the amount of Americans who are playing in Europe. I don't think it's necessary to have as some criteria. But, you know, give me, I don't know, Patrick Vieira might not be available, but Patrick Vieira is a name that might come up. Trying to think of somebody else who...
The problem is, as we start saying these other names, you're just getting more and more to guys that don't... I guess the question to you, my question to you, Jason, is... Well,
okay, what about Hugo Perez? Hugo Perez.
Okay, I think, so I think it was
sexy,
4 years ago.
Right?
If it was 4 years ago, instead of Berhalter, maybe. I don't know if Hugo Perez... I think the
You don't think he's a step up.
You're asking him to make a step up when you're already trying to make a step up.
Sure.
You know, and it's not that I don't like Hugo Perez. I do. But if we're talking 4 years ago instead of Berhalter, yes. But I think at this point, with so much on the line and a chance to, this team has the talent with the right coach to make a Final Four kind of run at home in the U.S. So you need a coach that's capable of not being big, the moment's not bigger than them. And say all you want for Hugo Perez, he hasn't had that.
No, you're right.
I think you have to go someplace else. So my question to you, Jason, is: do you are you interested in them even entertaining a coach that does not have international experience? Like, if they came up tomorrow and said Jose Mourinho, does that make you nervous? Does that make you excited?
Ooh.
A guy that loves been
that
talking about wanting
nervous.
To come to the U.S. forever.
It makes me nervous. I think if it was somebody like Jose, it would make me nervous. I mean, it's not that I doubt his ability to win games in an international setting. I just think that he would chafe against so much that is American soccer that it would be very difficult to imagine he even makes it to 26, right? And you can't pick a coach who you're not positive is going to walk you all the way up to the American World Cup. I don't think you can do that. Now, again, I hate that I'm in my head about this, and I know it was brought up by somebody. You know, we're talking about this. Man, I really don't like the sense that U.S. soccer is going to say it's an American World Cup. We've got to have an American to do the media rounds to get everybody hyped up for the tournament. I just really hope that's not a thing. What did Van Hall say? Can you put that back up there, Nicholas Soup and Sausage? And we got to pick a peek at your face. Louis Van Gaal says U.S. men's national team didn't adapt or adjust to Holland's tactics of targeting the wide areas as his Dutch team outclassed Americans and wingback Denzel Dumfries starred.
Is there any lie there?
Right, that's fair. No. First of all, that outlet is garbage. Let's not do that again. But also, no, there's not.
But if
there's
a quote, it's no big deal. It doesn't matter who's reporting.
I know. I'm just kidding. Okay, look, I've made Randall wait 25 minutes. Let's get him on the air. Randall from Florida, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, guys. I'll admit I was a little vexed on how to feel about it. Like, on one end, hey, we made it out of the groups, young team. This is a learning experience here. I'm not expecting to make a deep run. At the same time, just felt like, I don't know. But I will say this, two things. First off, with the players looking like they were gassed, going back to what Carly Lloyd was saying, yeah, that's usually what happens if we spend our first three of our games bunkering down in the second half and just defending for, I'd say, at least 30 minutes.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, okay,
I think it's
sure.
I would buy that argument more if you said we put too many minutes on our midfield the first three games. That makes more sense to me than the bunkering aspect, because McKinney wasn't on the field for any of those bunkerings.
You have five substitutions available. Tyler Adams played every single minute in the World Cup, right? Yep. He didn't come out. You know, I think Eunice miss any time? Did Eunice get subbed out at any point?
I want to say he did in the England game, but I'm not positive.
Maybe he did. Obviously, I know Weston came off against the Dutch in the 65th. I don't remember if he came off before. Yeah, you just didn't have any depth in it. Kellen Acosta came on at one point. You're right. I remember that. There was just not any depth there. It turned out there wasn't any depth there.
Or the depth is too much of a drop off. I mean, Kellen Acosta.
It's not depth.
Kellen Acosta is too much. Yeah, Kellen Acosta is too much of a drop off to be a pure sub.
I hear the Malik Tillman shout. Malik Tillman
please,
was not ready.
Please.
Malik Tillman was not ready.
It's
now,
easy
Della
to say because they weren't there to show you how crap they were.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Luca Della Torre would have been great. I would have loved to have seen him play. Clearly, he was not fit enough. Clearly,
if you want to have that conversation with me, come up on the street and have that conversation with me. If you want to talk about Luca Della Torre should have seen more minutes, and we'll find out how bad his injury was at some point. If he was healthy,
The thing I know about Luca is he's willing to talk about it. So
he'll tell you.
He will absolutely talk about it if he was ready to play, because he didn't step on the field at all. Yeah, that was the thing. All right, Randall, what else?
Two other things. One, I'm just praying to God to get it right. Like, I don't care if the coach is international. I don't care if he's domestic. Heck, at this point, I wouldn't mind seeing more Americans actually make the jump to Europe. Go, like, we're exporting players. When we're going to start exporting coaches. And among all of this, I can also be happy that as many issues as we have now at USSF, it could be worse. We could be Mexico right now, whose federation is basically on fire.
Yeah, I mean, it's usually on. It's always, you know, Mexico. The FMF is always on fire. It's just how on fire is the FMF?
It's like the Olympic torch. It's always burning somewhere in the world.
It's always burning.
Sometimes it's really big. Sometimes
is somebody
it's really
actively spraying gasoline on it, or are they just kind of watching it burn a little bit? No, the FMF. And look, and let me ask you about that. So the name came up, and I don't really think he's a candidate for it, but I do think it's interesting because there were moments during qualifying when people would have told you, and he did, look, I think most people would argue he outcoached Berhalter in Nashville and probably outcoached Berhalter in Edmonton. John Herdman, or Toronto, wherever that game was, John Herdman did a good job with a young Canadian, or young in places, old in others. He did a good job with the Canadian team and then flamed out dramatically at the World Cup.
Yeah, he didn't get it right at the World Cup.
I'm not saying John Herdman is our answer, but I'm just thinking about a coach like that, right, who does a good job for a while, for a good period of time. How many, you know, you're playing an octagonal, you're playing 14 games of qualifying. He wins qualifying, right, but then goes to the World Cup and, yeah, plays well against Belgium, who obviously wasn't very good to begin with. We just didn't know how bad they were. And then gets roasted in the other two games, right? How much do you put on him?
I like Herdman if we had to qualify again. But we're not talking about qualifying again.
But
we're
can't do that, right?
We're not up to our expectations. Let me give you a progressive pick your poison here if you got that ready to go.
Ooh, I haven't
picked
your
poison in a while.
I haven't been dropping this. I'm just not in the drop mood, but I forgot somebody mentioned this earlier. I mean, we did see your tweet, right? We did see your tweet about defending the back door. I'm just going to say that. All right. Go ahead. Go ahead with the pick your poison.
All right. Here's my pick your poison for you. John Herdman.
Yeah.
Or.
Set me up for a selfish choice here,
no,
aren't you?
No, all of a sudden, it just fell right out of my. I know why I can't think of the name. Why am I blanking? Philly's coach.
Oh, Jim Curtin. You're talking about Jim Curtin?
I had John in my head for some reason. Jim Curtin. I want to give you a quick question, because obviously one has international experience. One is the potential down the road at some point U.S. national team coach, maybe.
Okay.
Which, if you had just those two to choose from, which would you go with?
Okay. I would go with Curtin because he's American. I mean, I know that not because he's American and Herman's not, and that's not the deciding factor, but I do think Curtin probably has a grasp and a handle on this team better than Herdman does, even though Herman's probably researched a ton about the U.S. men's national team, right? I don't know. I think Jim Curtin's a very good coach. I respect the hell out of Jim Curtin. He may or may not be the future U.S. men's national team manager, but let me say something about that idea, right? Because People throw that at Jesse Marsh all the time. Future men's U.S. men's national team editor. Because of Jesse Marsh, and honestly, we should, American coaches should be thinking beyond this anyway. The days of the pinnacle, the top of the mountain for an American coach being the U.S. men's national team job, those are over. Those days are gone. We're not there anymore, right? For Bruce, there was no higher mountaintop than the national team head coach, right? He went from Virginia to MLS to the national team manager, took our team to a quarterfinal. Congratulations to him. He's a legend because of those things. The idea that your job path now as a head coach should be, as an American, should be college, MLS, national team, or even just MLS national team.
That's
no.
Fallacy.
No. You should be thinking either I want to win everything in MLS over and over and over again as the league grows and gets better, or I want to make the jump to Europe. And I know Jim Curtin says he's not going anywhere right now and it's not a thing he's really thinking about. Fine. But I don't think Jim Curtin sits up at night thinking, well, I can't wait till I'm national team manager. I just don't think that's a thing.
Okay, so here's the progressive for you. I agree with you, Jim Curtin over Herdman. Jim Curtin or Hugo Pérez?
Ooh, I think I would still default to Curtin because I understand his tactical approach better, and I think that there would be a chance of that working with the U.S. men's national. Now, it's a lot of high pressure, and I don't really know if that's a thing.
You
say
Curtin,
see.
Right?
Yes, yeah, okay. Curtin.
Curtin or
Pérez has done a great job recruiting and getting new pieces for El Salvador, but we don't know what he looks like as the coach of a team that has to go out and really is expected to win games, right? El Salvador's not expected to win games.
I think that's fair. Jim Curtin or Carlos Quiroz?
Still Curtin over Quiroz. Okay. We're past Quiroz.
Okay. Jim Curtin or Hansi Flick?
I mean, that one's interesting. I mean, I don't know. Is it Flick's fault the way that Germany played in this World Cup and got bounced? I mean, they had talent. You have to pin it on somebody.
They weren't old. They had some old players, but they weren't old in general.
No. I mean, I would, so that one's a little bit more of a coin flip. I will say Flick only because I want the injection of outside perspective.
Flick or Didier Deschamps?
Flick over Deschamps. Absolutely. I just think that would be a disaster, personality-wise.
Or Luis Enrique?
Luis Enrique, because I'm with you. I like what he's doing with the Spanish team.
I just wanted to have that conversation about where those kind of like tiers are. And I think,
But I don't think it's as clear cut. So like no way you can pick Curtin over Flick. Again, it's not just about like...
About
who's
do you
accomplished
be?
More?
Yeah.
It's not like what level have they coached on? Do you know for a fact that Hansi Flick is a better fit for our national team than Jim Curtin? I don't think you do. You're making a choice based on several other again, for me, the outside influence of Hansi Flick would be good for this team. And I think that as this team matures, and since so many of them are European-based, they're going to be receptive to the ideas of a European head coach, which makes us a perfect opportunity to go hire one. But it doesn't mean that Jim Curtin would be a disaster. Or that he wouldn't fit for this team. I think he very much could. Plus, you know, we'd follow up one sneakerhead with another sneakerhead. I don't know. Maybe that's something.
I think Nikki Soup and Salad wanted to get in on this.
Okay, let's get him in. What's up, Nikki? Let me play you in first, okay? Since I have the opportunity to do that. Let me just...
The Sausage King of Chicago.
There he is.
Let me ask you this question. Do either of you two think that this group of players have a realistic chance of getting to the quarterfinals or maybe even semifinals in the next World Cup?
Yes.
And you get a freaking World Cup coach who has experience. You cannot go into this with somebody who's unproven on the international stage. And Jim Curtin ain't it. He's not.
Oh, but in fairness, none of
this
people
is like
that
Duke
we
hiring. This is like Duke hiring me to be the next head coach of Duke basketball.
But in fairness, Nick, none of the people we picked Curtin over have what you just said. So when we got he did fall off.
Are we living in a dream world, or are we living in a real world where there's where you're talking about people who would actually the U.S. soccer could actually get?
It still has to vibe.
I just think you can just throw open the door like we're going to go get that guy because not everybody is going to be interested. Not everybody's going to be affordable because I don't think you spend $8 million on a head coach for the national team per year. I just don't think that's a good idea.
Why?
So again. Why? Because there are other things that have to be funded, and you already sunk so much money into Klinsmann that it's obviously a thing that has carried over and cast a shadow. And if you fail with a coach that you pay, if you pay a coach a ton of money and he fails, now you're on the hook for that. I mean, I don't think that's a good idea. right? Now, okay. If you only care about the U.S. men's national team, then you say, screw it, push all your money, put all your chips on the in the middle of the table on that coach. That's not how I view U.S. soccer. That's not how I see U.S. soccer and what they should be, the responsibilities.
So, I mean, I guess I look at it as the World Cup is here. It's going to be here. Mm-hmm. Like, go all in. Put the chips in. Let's go.
Okay, but what is that? What does that look like? Who is that? Tell
Give
me who
the
that
name.
Is.
That's the thing. I don't have a name.
Neither do we.
Okay.
I will say this. I want somebody who has some tactical knowledge that can make changes in-game to affect outcomes. We do not have that right now with Greg Berhalter.
Okay.
Going back to him for the next four years is a mistake.
Okay, that's fine. I don't disagree with that. I'm just trying to figure out. Okay, so your last three winning World Cup managers, Jared's mentioned all of, well, no, you didn't mention Del Bosque, which he's probably sitting around drinking.
Not sure if he's even still interested in doing anything at that level.
Yeah, no, probably not, right? So Yogi Love, who obviously was in the job with Germany for 100 years.
Free agent.
Right. Free agent out there. Yogi Love and Didier Deschamps, as Jared mentioned, who's still coaching the French team, has a chance to go win another World Cup. That's it. So if you're talking about that level, there aren't any options, right?
I'm going to give you a little bit of xenophobic
Marcelo Lippi and Scolari. Come on.
Let me give you a little bit of xenophobic question here as well.
Uh-huh.
Being that the tournament is in the U.S., home, do you need a manager that is a good English speaker for the media?
Well,
that's
what I said. That's what I mentioned.
Does that make you want to pick Gareth Southgate over someone like Luis Enrique? Which I don't know what his English skills are. I shouldn't say that. I don't know what his English skills are. But I think he played his whole career in Spain.
Okay.
Did he play
I've mentioned Lopetegui several times on this show already. For anybody who's going to bring up Julian Lopetegui, I do not think
he is
a great fit. Okay, well, there you go. There's another.
I mean,
that's
he just got that job.
Right. He wanted the job, or he apparently was in the mix, wanted the job, or wanted to be interviewed for the job before Berhalter got it, right, when they were going through that process. I don't know that he would have been the right choice for the team. Can't prove he wouldn't have been. Don't know. He wasn't. They didn't choose him. Not going to choose him now. Jeff, don't think they're going to choose him now. And this is an interesting point, too, from Jackie. A foreign manager, meaning a coach coaching a team that he is not, that he's not a citizen of that country, from that country, has never won the World Cup. I don't know if that's a thing that you care about at this point, right? I don't know.
I mean, but also, like, a lot of the countries that have won are traditionally soccer powerhouses as well. I mean,
well, that's true. That's the thing. You'd be trying to get into a very elite club.
Yeah.
And the odds are very much stacked against the United States winning the World Cup. So, yes, while that should be your goal, I don't think that you necessarily. So again, how does that dictate what kind of head coach you go after, or how much money you spend, or what you deem to be the kind of tactical acumen that is necessary for this job?
I don't know. It's a tough. You need a combination of everything, and that's the hard part about this conversation is that in the mind of Sidney Parlocone and the mind of Ernie Stewart, what should this team look like in 4 years? Should they be playing the same style of play that we're playing now? Are we going to develop a number nine in the next four years? You know,
you hope that Ricardo Pepi matures and he's 24 and ready to go. Then because he's 20, be 24. I just want to point that out. He'll still be an extremely young player. This is an interesting one, by the way. And I don't know what his status is because they didn't qualify, and obviously there's been a Euro in 2 years.
He coached Italy.
What about Roberto Mancini?
He coached Italy at one point, right?
He's still on the books with the Italian national team.
Okay. I don't know. Do you want to bring a guy that couldn't get his own team to the World Cup?
That's a good question.
We won't have to worry about that.
There's no
That's true.
We don't have to qualify.
That's true. We don't have to qualify. But his point is that there were important games and Mancini didn't succeed. He won a European championship. Let's point that out too, right? There's good and bad there. Okay.
If you're going to ask me for my top five that I want to see us pursuing in order,
okay,
Luis Enrique.
Okay. Do I have my? Okay. Let me just do this. Luis Enrique. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Go ahead.
God dang! I can't believe I'm going to say this.
Uh huh.
Southgate.
Okay. I don't. Do I have the.
Because here's my other. I want to see Roberto Martinez second, but it's just so hard with
Roberto Martinez.
I think he's a. No. I think he has a. No. Here's what you don't want people to understand. He has an idea of what the average American mindset the player is. That's what something. If all the other names we're talking about, you bring Hansi Flick in here, he's going to look around and be like, this is what you're bringing me? Like, Roberto Martinez knows what the American player is already.
No. First of all, if you even have an inkling that a coach is going to look down his nose at the players that are beyond a Pulisic or an Adams, then you don't hire him. You can't hire him. You have to believe. Look, and that's the thing. Like, yes, Hansi Flick is accustomed to a certain level of player with Germany, but lots of these guys have been in club environments and working at lower levels. Okay, I don't buy this idea that he's not going to.
We get a bunch of Anglo like snobs out there that, I mean, listen, the guy just took a team to a Euro final and a World Cup semi. He's not trash. Just because Fogan didn't get a freaking game, but for a couple, he doesn't mean
you're
he's
talking
trash.
About Southgate.
Yes.
Okay, you're talking about Southgate. There's also defenders of Roberto Martinez in the chat. I don't know why. I know that the bloom just seems off.
And
the
he was
rose
good enough
very,
for Belgium. He's
much.
Not good enough for us.
That's a good point.
Come
now,
on.
Apparently,
everyone's being. Like,
I haven't. Hold on. I haven't read this,
on this stuff.
I haven't read the story. The Athletic apparently has a tell-all kind of thing about behind the scenes with the Belgian national team. It was a disaster. The vibes were bad, Jared. And you are hashtag Vibe Squad. Like you're, you're hashtag Vibe Squad. You.
I'm not
get a
blaming him.
Guy.
You know who I'm blaming? Thierry Henry, the guy who made France's vibes bad in 2010 as well.
Oh, I mean,
was it 2010 or 2014.
Nicholas Anelka was part of that story, too.
Hey, Henri was there, baby. Also, I'm just saying, there's been two big blow-ups.
Last couple years, Karim Benzema getting into it, Matthew Valbuena. there's a lot of stuff going on with that.
But but there's a reason why I'm saying Southgate. Tell me another manager that's been to two big finals in the last four years.
Okay, so you
Deschamps?
Are the man.
You want Deschamps
you
instead?
You are the man on this show who is most concerned with the sexy, and you're telling me that one of your leading candidates for the U.S. men's national team. Now, I know he wears a nice suit, don't get me wrong. Gareth Southgate.
But we have dentists
Gareth
here.
Southgate.
We can fix that.
We've spent the last, I'm going to say this, we spent the last 40 years trying to get away from all of these Englishmen coming over here and telling us how to play this sport. We have so much
God,
of that.
Don't
you know,
do this. Don't do this. You want exciting, sexy?
On.
Go get Bielsa. Do you want that?
How many players were ruined because parents thought, hey, that guy has an English accent. He must know what he's talking about. And then that coach had no idea.
We're not talking about AYSO parents here. We're talking about people who actually know the game and a listener base that knows
you.
The game as well.
I'm just messing with you, man. Come on.
I'm just saying, you can do worse than Southgate. In terms of results. I don't think it's sexy. You heard the remorse in my voice when I was saying his name. But the guy has a track record of success. And a bunch of the guys we're talking about do not. Hansi Flick doesn't have a track record of success.
Next thing you're going to tell me, Harry Redknapp is a nice choice.
For a club team?
Big Sam.
Big Sam Allardyce.
You're just trying to appeal to the English stereotypes right now. Like,
nah, I mean,
give me your top five. You won't do it. That's the thing.
I just told you that I mentally shut down at final whistle yesterday.
Convenient.
No, like I'm not even there yet. Like I haven't even processed the fact that, you know, what do I think about this team and its future and how excited should I be? I mean, I definitely have hope, which is something different. Like I really do see, first of all, I know we're going to be in the World Cup next time, which is something I didn't know in 2014, but presumed incorrectly. I really do have a sense. I mean, so much of this team comes back. Now, we need to get Chris Richards healthy and developing quickly so that we have a replacement for Tim Ream. We need, you know, obviously Walker Zimmerman's going to be 33. I don't think we need to be relying on him at that point.
These things,
you know, there are some other
spots
for
a great
center forward.
Extent.
No, I understand. Obviously, the midfield should be there. Pulisic is still going to be in his prime. Timothy Weah, Brendan Aaronson hopefully coming along, all that stuff. I don't want to be. So here's the thing. This is my problem. And you know, you're going to hate me for this because this is what I do, right? I don't want to box myself in because I'm thinking only practically, like who could they actually get? But I also don't, I find it difficult to dream big and start thinking about names that would be very difficult to attract. And even if you could, would probably be outside of U.S. soccer's realistic price range. Like, I just...
I don't think U.S. soccer has a realistic price range when they know the windfalls of cash they're going to get from having a good showing.
Well,
in the tournament.
Subsidized. Get Nike or Budweiser or somebody.
I'm not worried about price point. I'm not. Okay. Whatever the top coach in the world is getting paid right now, I think the U.S. soccer could match that without batting an eye.
So okay, let me ask you a question. And again, he is basically retired. I think he's doing FIFA stuff. He doesn't have the vim and vigor that he did 20 years ago leading the Invincibles and all that. But would you be completely against Arsene Wenger for just
so
because
old,
there's no...
dude.
I understand that. He's a communicator. He understands the game.
My soccer team needs to be like my country. We shouldn't have anyone approaching 80 running it. And that goes for the last two, you know? Like, come on, guys. Like,
okay.
We need someone that can work a phone.
I've left some people on hold, so I want to get to them before we run out of time. And
what do you think about that right there? Zinedine Zidane.
Man, do you think personality-wise that would be good?
Sexy.
No, I would love it. Soccer nerds would love it, but come on,
I'll
man.
Take a flyer.
All right, let's go to Felix from Chicago. Felix, you're on the air. What's up?
This is why I call in first. Okay.
We take all the good stuff?
All right.
That's right. We say all the smart things.
Yeah, I think my take is going to be a little bit different. I think this is in general, and this isn't necessarily an original take. I've heard Sam Stokes, right? Is that his name? I'm so bad.
Sam Stasekull?
Sam Stokes from Yankerport.
Sam Stokes from Yankerport. Yeah, go ahead.
I've heard him say this as well. So this is an original take. I think we make too much of the coach.
Sure.
I think we have this idea that we need the coach to make 100% of the decisions correct. All 26 guys on the roster, the starting lineup, 100%, the subs, when they get in, the players that get in, 100% needs to be right. If that's the margins that we're operating under, that we need the coach to get every single last decision right, then this team isn't as good as we think they are.
Well, this team isn't as good, Felix. Hold on, though, Felix. I agree with you in terms of going forward from 2022, but you're talking about the coach. It is 100% fair to expect the coach to take part and be responsible for a lot of decisions when you're fielding a team with, outside of Tim Ream, has an average age of 23. They don't have the ability to make those adjustments yet. They don't have the experience.
You're looking at this backward, Felix. And now, like, again, I also think this is, again, a function of who you can actually
get. But he's right in terms of the next decision.
No. But what I'm going to say is that for a country like France, Didier Deschamps has to get less right. He doesn't have to get everything right because it's France, because they have Mbappe, because they have Griezmann, because they have all of that talent. If you are coaching a team with lesser talent, you have to be even better. Now, obviously, you're going to be a lesser coach because the best teams in the world have the best coaches, or we presume that. And again, that's sort of results-based analysis. Is Didier Deschamps the best coach in the international soccer coach in the world? Maybe. His team won a World Cup title. They're going to be in contention again this year. Maybe not. Maybe he just has the most talent available, and he's just kind of rolling with it. I mean, it's impossible to know for sure. So if you're talking about a young team with not as much talent or still growing, yeah, you need a coach who gets most of the things right. So I understand you could say that we are putting too much weight on the coach, but that's one of the variables that matters more for the United States than it does for some of the other teams in the world.
Can I jump in? So that, I think, to take that point forward, there, what we want, what you're just saying, right? That we need a coach that gets more right because we don't have the talent level of France. My point is, no coach like that exists.
That doesn't mean you throw your hands up and say, hey, no.
I don't know about that. Jared,
I figured it out. I figured it out. No, Tyler Adams, head coach. Let's go. Let's just go. We'll see.
Well, that's my point. So there's no coach like that exists, right? So I'm not saying just give up and just hire whomever. But I think sometimes we're creating this coach that doesn't exist to take this player pool that I believe we've kind of delusionally kind of pumped up, and that they're not as good as we think they are, to take this player pool as far as we want them to get, to kind of hit our headspace of, I think this is a team that has semifinal talent, and we just need a coach that just gets 100% of the decisions right so they can get them as far as I think they can go. That's, I think that's, we're kind of setting ourselves up to be disappointed. So with that being said, now I'm just putting that out there. That being said, okay, in terms of actual coaches who can do that, I mean, I think perceivably possibly do better than Berhalter. I think some of the names I've heard you guys are talking about, Hugo Pérez, that would be kind of my pick, because I think he's a coach that, when you look at the talent level of El Salvador, right, you're talking about guys who play in the Salvadorian League and play in the second, third, USL, right, and he's got that team playing more than the sum of their parts. I think that's what you want a national team coach to do, to get them to buy into what you're telling them to do, and then get them to play bigger than the sum of their parts. I think that's a possibility. And then also, too, Hugo Pérez has kind of worked with a lot of these guys at the youth level, right? A lot of them know him personally. You're not just bringing in a
Felix,
guy out of the
Felix,
blue.
You're telling
so
me.
I think that's a name. Yeah.
So you're telling me that with every coach in the world available to you, you would pick Hugo Pérez. That's what you're saying.
No, I just don't think those. I think, like Jason's saying, I think some of those names, I think that's just delusion. And we're assuming
he's trying to be realistic. He's trying to zero in on what's realistic and also helps his team get better. I think some of the people we talked about
are realistic, to be fair.
Okay. I mean, again, it depends on how much money
is
available.
It's a high profile job for this next time around.
It is and it isn't, though.
I mean, assuming they dropped the requirement, you have to live in Chicago.
I don't know. I mean, Chicago's a good food city, too.
Don't be
no, that's Felix from
I'm
Chicago.
Here. I'm in Chicago.
Yeah, you got to put up with Felix on your doorstep every day.
I live
20 minutes away from Berhalter, probably. He actually lives in a very nice part of town. He's got like a $3 million house.
Stalker.
Hugo Pérez, I think, is an interesting a name that I haven't heard you guys bring up, who is out there and has a lot of European pedigree, is Pellegrino Matarazzo. I think that's an interesting name that might come up.
Why, though? But why? Why? What has he done that makes you think he would be a good international manager? I respect Matarazzo, and I know he did good things at Stuttgart.
Assistant coach for the head coach.
How does any of that line up to, oh, yeah, he should coach the national team? He left New Jersey 30 years ago. What are we talking about here?
I didn't say he should. I said that's an interesting name that might come up because he's available. I'm talking about realistic names.
On the same level, I've seen David Wagner. David Wagner, okay, he's done some interesting things. Why would David Wagner be a good coach for the U.S. men's national team? Well, I don't understand that. I don't know. Just because he's American, because he played
Felix, you don't have to defend that. He's just talking in general things he's
No, heard, I'm not yelling at you, Felix. I'm just yelling.
At the cloud.
That's fine. The Jim Curtin one, I think, is probably the obvious one. That's the most obvious name. I think that going to Jim Curtin is kind of like what we've always done. And I don't.
That's fair.
And it's probably how adventurous is McBride or in Stewart, right? These two guys, and they're the ones who I think will actually make the decision.
Okay.
So
yeah.
How adventurous are they? I think. So Jim Curtin, Matarazzo, Hugo Pérez, Jurgen Lowe's. I think Jurgen Lowe's probably, if you're talking realistic, Jurgen Lowe's an interesting one. I think you guys are right. I'm not saying this to be nationalistic, but I think just speaking practically, they're probably going to want someone who does speak English because they're probably going to be doing a lot of interviews, a lot of media stuff.
I think that's part of it.
So
I think that's part of it. Now I think he does.
So, I think that's an interesting one because he is a tactical guy, and I said this when Klinsmann got hired 10 years ago, whatever, how long ago, that Klinsmann wasn't going to go far because he needed a tactical guy to go along with all his rah-rah stuff, right? And Jurgen Lowe was the tactical mind behind Klinsmann. And so I think he would be a very interesting one. He's been successful internationally. I think he understands American players to an extent because he's coached in the Bundesliga. We all know there's a lot of Americans in the Bundesliga. So I think he would be a very interesting one. I just don't know if he wants to, whatever he's doing, come out of retirement or whatever. But anyways, those are some of my thoughts. It sounds like you guys have already talked about the game because I dialed in late.
A little bit.
Probably at this point. I'm just rehashing stuff I already talked about. So anyways, I appreciate you guys giving me time. Have a good show. Thanks, guys.
Okay, appreciate it, Felix. I'm sorry. I a couple things in the chat I want to get to. First of all, it says here, shitting on Matarazzo, but saying that Hugo Pérez should be head coach. That's not what happened. Okay. First of all, I'm not shitting on Pellegrino Matarazzo. done an incredible thing by going up to the ranks in Germany, reaching the Bundesliga. Absolutely. I just don't know how that makes him an obvious choice to be a national team manager, which not what Felix said, to be fair.
Hugo Perez has international experience. Yeah.
And Hugo Perez has coached in World Cup qualifying. Okay. Mm. That's pretty much his resume outside of working with U.S. soccer and working the Mexican Federation as a scout and as an assistant. I don't know. Again, I don't think I'm not against Hugo Perez. I'm not. I don't know what we're supposed to be zeroing in here. Now, let's finish out the show strong. We can go to the man himself.
OMFBG13, it's JTT.
There he is. I love that shot of him.
I love that.
Stamford Bridge, right? That's where that was?
That's correct.
He's about ready to jump in
with the next U.S. manager right there, and Thomas Tuchel.
Well, hold on real quick before John says anything else. Between those two gentlemen on the screen right now, those two managers about to go at it at Stamford Bridge, Jared, which one would you prefer?
I think Tuchel has a lot of misplaced rage, so I'll go with him.
Okay. You prefer for the U.S. men's national team?
Oh, I think he meant to win that fight.
No, not the fight. Oh. I'm saying if the choice was – I know he's not available, but if Antonio Conte was available and Thomas Tuchel was available, who would you take?
Of the guys in that picture, I'll take JTT.
That's okay. He dodged the question. JTT, what's up?
All right, I got a question of my own for you guys, because I've heard a whole big pile of names mentioned tonight. The one that I think ought to get the job for 26 was mentioned at the start of the show and not afterwards. We can get into that. You both already know who it is. But here's my question for you. The coach of the team that won the most recent Copa America, when did he start his coaching career, and when did he start his international coaching career?
Are you talking about Lionel?
What did he say? Who are you talking about?
The coach that won the most recent Copa America, is that what he said?
I think he said MLS Cup. I think he's talking
say
about
Copa America. I apologize.
No.
Oh, Copa America. Okay.
Yes. The coach of the team that is the reigning mm-hmm. Copa America champion.
You're talking about Scaloni.
What mm-hmm. is his international management pedigree?
What is his international?
I don't know what he did before coaching Argentina, Scaloni. I couldn't even tell you.
No.
I'll give you the answer.
Okay.
Lionel Scaloni started coaching in 2016 as an assistant at Sevilla. A year later, he was an assistant at Argentina. A year after that, he got the head job. He's been it ever since.
Okay.
That's not a lot.
So you're saying Luchi Gonzalez.
If Luchi Gonzalez was not already tied down to San Jose, he might be my preferred candidate for the caretaker.
Okay.
Interesting.
Caretaker. Okay.
You're for caretaker. You're throwing him into the Dave Sarakin role.
Yes, because I think Jesse Marsh ought to get the job.
Oh, come on. JTT.
Hold on. You say ought to get. Now, you mean that you sit around and wait for Jesse Marsh to get fired by Leeds, and then you say, hey, Jesse, come coach the national team?
I think if you, and I don't know, the only thing that I have discerned from any of this so far is that he wants the job at some point. There's little doubt to me from listening to all of the public comments that he has made that he wants the job.
Okay, but someday. When is that someday?
The issue is, he's not going to leave Leeds this summer unless he's been fired. If he does not get fired from Leeds, you're probably not going to be able to get him until the spring of 2020.
Yeah, here's my problem with that strategy, JTT, is that the managers are going to be available now. The World Cup's about to be over. The cream of the crop to be selected from is going to be in this window. So if you wait...
I don't think that's necessarily true.
Come on,
I don't know if I'd like the.
That's the real. That's like saying the winter transfer window is as good as the summer transfer window. They're both decent, but which one's better?
The cream of the crop.
So hold on, Jared. You're limiting the U.S. men's national team to the 32 coaches. 31 eliminate Berhalter. The 31 coaches at this World Cup, if you're saying that this is right after this World Cup is when everybody who's good is going to be available, you're locking it down to 31 names, right? And again, most of those aren't going to be
names you want. I also think that the caretaker manager delays the maturation of the team. They could be learning the style of what they're going to play in 2026 in February. You know, like they could be learning now.
I disagree with that pretty strongly.
Okay, go ahead.
Because... One of the issues that we have seen under the Berhalter era is you can't necessarily install a complicated playbook with a national team when you don't actually get to coach those players for very many hours. in the hole. So playing style-wise, I would be fine with somebody who was able to come in, as Jason has obviously said. I agree with him. I don't like the fact that Berhalter didn't make enough in-game adjustments for my liking, substituted too late, et cetera, and so on. But the notion that we have to go with a, you know, NFL-sized playbook of playing style now, as we thought we had to when Berhalter got hired, I don't think that holds water anymore.
No, I tend to agree. So I understand what Jared is saying, that, you know, the more time a team has to work with a coach, the better. I think you can just say that without having to bring it down to system. And we're talking system, not style, necessarily.
Well, also gives them a chance to start trying out the players that they see for their vision.
Oh, no. In terms of knowing the player pool going into 2026, absolutely, I think it behooves U.S. Soccer to find somebody who can get their feet wet right away.
We got Balogun out there right now. We need a coach that's going to be like getting these guys. We've seen how important getting those dual nationals has been during the Berhalter era. And you can say he didn't get them all. He missed some to Mexico for sure. But the ones he got, if you look at the difference makers in this team at the World Cup, it's the dual nationals. You know, Andy Robbins had a bad last game, but Jared, over the course of World Cup qualifying, he's been a stud.
Go ahead.
Okay, Jared, so you've got to hire somebody who has that personal touch in dual national recruiting, which some of the guys who we've discussed tonight, I'm not sure, have quite that touch. And I...
Well, so
the, are they going to be able to really make the sale? I'm not sure.
The other thing about... The other thing about that is, yes, I guess it would be... Look, I don't know if a big-name coach helps you recruit, or somebody with a personal touch like Berhalter, that obviously could help you recruit. I think at this point, the player pool as it currently sits, the team that just went to the World Cup, that's your recruiting tool. Those guys have to be doing that recruiting. If Yunus Musa is not texting following Balogun every single day to say, hey, come play with us, then you're not going to get him anyway.
Yeah, but you still want to hear from the coach. Come on, man. You still want to hear from the coach. And, and that's one of the reasons why when I talk about Luis Enrique as my number one, one of the reasons I'm saying it is that would it be nice to have, I know he's not necessarily Latino, a Spanish-speaking coach that understands
He's Hispanic, not Latino.
So an Hispanic coach that understands and can reach out and maybe bridge that gap that we have been bullshit at actually recruiting that community.
If you're arguing... Nico Esteves is an interesting name, obviously, at Dallas. National team experience, sort of the Lucci, the pre-Lucci Lucci, which would be interesting. I don't know, you're going to pry him away from Dallas right now if he still has that job, depending on what you pay him. And I don't know, you can't, first of all, who's going to willingly choose to be a caretaker who's worth anything, right? So that's certainly an issue. Not to hate on Dave Sarakin, but he was just standing there when everything fell apart. Yeah. This isn't a fall apart situation. Hey, we've got a four-year build-up to the biggest World Cup in the history of American soccer, and by the way, we're going to hire you for a little while until we get somebody better. I don't know that's good.
I think if Lucci Gonzalez was not tied to San Jose already, he might work.
Okay. And look, I first of all, I do think American soccer fans should get prepared for either Berhalter keeps the job and they maybe re-up him for a year or two, but not necessarily the cycle. I don't know if he's willing to do that. That's an interesting question. Or a caretaker, as John is suggesting. That's certainly possible. Tab Ramos, somebody mentioned Tab Ramos. Tab Ramos knows the player pool, knows these guys, can help with the recruiting angle, speaks Spanish, Jared. People would probably say that Tab definitely has some black marks on his record when it comes to recruiting.
I think Ernie Stewart loses his job if he brings a caretaker coach. I think the fan base is not going to accept that.
I think Ernie Stewart has hand. I don't think Ernie Stewart's going anywhere, regardless of what happens right now. You can say, hey, Berhalter shouldn't get another 4 years. One cycle for a national team manager, that's the best thing, and let's level up the way that Nick says we need to level up.
Yeah, but to kick the ball down the road for 2 years, come on.
I think, and I've written this already, and a number of other people have written it, that Greg might go of his own accord.
Okay, that'd be fine. Yes,
my man's probably
getting
offers, to be honest with
you. Please do. Well, look, and yeah, maybe Greg Berhalter, I do wonder if Greg Berhalter has enough credit now to do something more than just come back to Major League Soccer. And as far as I'm aware, there's one job open in Major League Soccer, and it's a job that Greg Berhalter had one time before. I don't know if he wants it again, but it's there, right? Is that right, JTT?
I don't remember. I have not been paying attention yet. Sorry.
See, I don't think Columbus has a head coach right now.
That sounds...
Well, Galaxy doesn't have a general manager either. Doesn't stop us.
Everybody forgot about MLS completely in the World Cup. We don't even. Jonathan Tannehill covers the league on a daily basis most of the time.
You know how happy I am that the U.S. went out of the World Cup, so I don't have to talk about Chris Klein this weekend.
Is Montreal open too? Okay, yeah, maybe Montreal's also open.
Oh, God damn it.
That's a nice is Wilfred, they got.
Wilfred Nancy was on Columbus's list, but I haven't heard that that's a done deal. If that's a done deal, then I missed it. My apologies. So
yeah,
go
he,
on.
Well,
anyway.
Right. No, he seems to be on his way there, but I don't know that
okay.
for certain.
Okay. Well, maybe they don't have an opening. Either way.
But
go ahead.
The point that I want to make about is about Jesse Marquez, really. The notion that he should be disqualified from the job over a lack of national team experience, in air quotes, I strongly disagree.
I'm disqualifying him the job because he has a job.
I'm not disqualifying him for the job at all. I know you seem convinced that he wants the job. I don't think he wants the job now, and I don't think you can sit there and keep it open for him or have a caretaker waiting around for Jesse Marsh. I don't think he's that
we all
level.
Have guys. We all have girls that we waited for, and not many of them panned out. You know, like how many guys were like the best friend with waiting for the girl to become single
Jared,
again?
I don't like the idea of waiting around for somebody who might get dumped. Like you're waiting for them to get dumped so you can then bring them, like you can
it's
date them.
It's called sloppy second, sir. It served me well at times.
You could go caretaker through next into next summer anyway, because you don't know what managers around the game are going to get.
Listen, summer is my stopgap.
This is a Winter World Cup phenomenon, to be clear.
Okay,
John,
let's not get hung up on the time between now and the summer. Okay, yes, there are games on the schedule.
I'm okay if it takes till summer. If you means you getting the right guy out of a job, the seasons are still going on. But come summer, this decision has to be made. It can't run. It can't be like just delayed like it was last time. A year, guys. Like
it took a year.
Come on.
It took a year.
If it takes the summer, okay, that's fine. Find a caretaker for the summer. I get it. That's fine. But we have to pull the trigger.
Okay. Yeah. I think this is such a – I mean, obviously it's fresh and we're still processing what happened yesterday. But it's just such an open-ended question. It doesn't – no. Look, again, I think there are some practical things you can bring to the table about how U.S. soccer usually operates. And again, John, can you give us any – do you have any sense that they will just write a blank check for the next head coach of the men's national team?
I can't see that happening personally. I think that – I think it for two reasons. The first is I'm not sure that the board of directors – will do it because they're ultimately the ones who have to sign the check. And I think that there are some people out there who are rightly still a little scarred by Klinsmann, how it went the last time they wrote a big check to somebody. That's A and B. I've written about this a little bit. I plan to write about it some more. Ernie Stewart's hand, and this is going to be a big deal because he is a system thinker. And Greg Berhalter is a system thinker who believes in a similar system to Ernie Stewart. And so I don't think Ernie Stewart's going to write a big check to somebody he can't work with.
Okay. Okay.
All right. That's fair.
All right. JTT, thank you very much for calling us up.
So, guys, it's my pleasure. Sorry, your caller said my ears burning up, so I had to do it.
All right. There he goes.
Good to hear from you, JTT.
Thanks to Jonathan Tannehill. We got a supersized version of the best. I guess that makes sense. You know, I came into this thinking, I don't really want to even think about this anymore. Let's just get this over with. Let's just, you know, whatever. Let people vent. I was happy to let people vent. Turns out there was a lot to be said about the next head coach. Well, We're already thinking ahead.
Why wouldn't you? It's the time.
No, I know. And if this World Cup was not coming to the United States, we might not be already there. But I think that's part of this. And the young group, right?
It's a big This is the one, right? Like this is. Can you think of a cycle that's ever been more important than this one? That's had more hype.
Yeah,
that has
more
legit hype.
Yeah, it's different. It's a very different flavor than 1990 to 1994 for sure.
Because we all know that if you're the soccer friend in your group, you have those people that come up to you every 4 years, like. So does USA have a chance? And you always have to go like, no. Come on, guys. Like, let's temper the expectations. But this is the only time in my entire life supporting soccer, the 2026, where I could be like, maybe. No, I don't think they're going to win. But they could definitely do something special. They could do something special.
A step above. Step beyond. Yeah. right?
And the coach is such a big part of it.
By the way, disappointed in the result, the loss to the Dutch, disappointed in the result, not disappointed in the team, not disappointed in the overall navigation by the players on the field, okay? Again, pick and choose your issues with Berhalter and his choices, right? But in terms of what this group did, again, we essentially went, I know Tim Ream and Walker Zimmerman skewed things a little bit, but we went to the World Cup with an Olympic roster, mm-hmm. right? For yeah. the most part, right? And we did pretty good. I'm not saying we did everything we could have. Well. Who knows? Did pretty well. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that a grammar yeah. thing? Are you coming at me?
Yeah, just letting you know. Just letting you know. I mean, you speak on the radio. I want to make sure you do it the right way. You know?
I don't write for a living at all anymore. I do actually a little bit still, but anyway. All right. Anything else, Mr. Dubois?
I think that's it. Listen, guys, whatever your feelings are coming out of this, just know they're valid. You know, everyone has their own things they're going through in this, you know.
You sound like a therapist.
No, it's true. Like
everything you feel is valid.
It's okay. Yes. It's a soup of emotions that when something like this happens. I was like you. I just had to unplug. I had to unplug because we've been plugged in for a couple years. But at some point.
That's the thing. It's the burn. It's a four-year burn, right?
At some point, when you're ready, you can plug in again. And just know when you plug in again, you've got a fun ride ahead you get the next 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I will say, I'll take this opportunity. We discussed things a little bit before the show. If you sign up for the Patreon at patreon.com/thebestsoccershow, and I may tweak the tiers, okay? I want to get some more people through the front door. The World Cup's over. And we can reassess and have some time to think. We are not positive what's going to happen with us in 2023 for a couple of reasons, but we won't lay those all out here. What we are talking about is doing some fun stuff before the end of the year, the next couple of weeks ahead of Christmas, and the holidays, and we're probably going to take some time off. So, you know, and there was not a lot to talk about outside
we're talking
of
about
like,
some,
Jared,
maybe some games, like,
Jared making up some games. You
know,
yeah.
There was talk of a drunk show. You know, there was a few different things.
There was talk of a drinking show.
Should that
we,
might be Patreon,
though.
Should we that
do a drunky
drink? I mean, you see what I say when I'm
already
sober.
Drunk.
You remember what I say when I'm drunk?
Can we see it one more time? Oh, can we see it one more time?
For the record, you don't know that I wasn't drunk when I put that up there.
I don't know that you were drunk.
But it,
I don't know.
It was 12:07 p.m. on the East Coast. That means 9:07 my time. So if I was, that's a... I had a Bellini and a Bloody Mary by that time. I'll say that.
A Bellini and a Bloody Mary? Good Lord, man. Good Lord.
Do it right.
Okay. You get a fire going in that fireplace. Get yourself
one going
a nice
right
glass
now.
Of wine. See what happens. All right. Patreon.com/thebestsoccershow. Community, bonus shows, other things to come. What else, Jared? I mean, we're
hit a subscribe again, on the YouTube channel while you're here. If you're here right now, if you're one of the 100 some people watching right now, like, get in.
And that's the thing. Look, I think a lot of people, I saw somebody, Jose said he didn't even know we were back. We've been doing this for what, 2 years now, Jared? We've been back for 2 years?
Yeah.
Maybe more than that.
Is it more than 2 years? Time flies, man. I'm lost. All right. So Jose didn't even know we were back. He found out we're back tonight.
Welcome,
that's
Jose.
Great. Or last week. Shout out to him. I know there are new listeners who didn't know us in the 1.0 era and now only know us in the 2.0 era. Not a lot has changed in our approach to
My hair color.
First of all, I want to just shout out, and this is really long, this show. Jared and I started in October of 2011. Is that right?
Sure. Something about right.
October of 2011, doing the Best Soccer Show, okay? It was a very different time. I had only just started my blog and my own thing and trying to make a career out of all this. The world has changed dramatically in the amount of stuff we get from people who know their shit. Okay. And it's awesome. Like, it's great that we have all of this stuff going on. I watched Football Americas during the tournament. Obviously, that's
fantastic
ESPN
content.
Produced thing with Sebastian Salazar and Hercules Gomez. I know somebody mentioned Sam Stokes. Yank Report is killing it. You know, there are people, I don't even know what they think of us. I don't know if they like us. I have no idea. 11 Yanks and
obviously
and,
there's a lot of
tactical manager
look a lot like what we have been doing for them.
And all of those look and this thing, I know beefs, right? I'm glad that we have those things happening and there's people out there talking about American soccer and doing it passionately. Some of those guys may take a different approach than we take, right? And that I think that's fine.
Yeah, there should
I have
be
no
different,
issue.
There should
like,
be different flavors out
they,
there.
They do their thing, we do ours. Especially now with the cycle over, you might get some wild stuff from us. You might get some some off the wall stuff. We're not going to be talking 4-3-3s very often.
God, no.
I don't
God,
think.
I'd be so bored. God, I'd be so bored. And you should be too. If we're talking about expected goals, something's gone wrong.
If you want to look, no. If you want the tactical breakdown, if you want to talk about, if you want manager profiles and how they would approach the U.S. men's national team talent pool from a tactical perspective, awesome. That's great. I'm glad that stuff is there. Probably not going to get it from the Best Soccer Show.
XG, we're going to talk about his ex-girlfriends.
We'll get Jared talking about backdoors. That's probably what we're going to get. Mm. Jared talking about backdoors. All right. That's like five. All right, that's going to do it for us. We stay tuned to all the social media. We'll probably put something up, Patreon, whatever. We'll let you know what's next for the Best Soccer Show. It's been a fun ride with everybody. Thank you very much for listening to us, and we'll talk to you soon.
See you guys.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Calm down, Greg. It's soccer. It's soccer.
Hey, Aaron, where are you?
WNBC. WNBC.
The Sausage King of Chicago.
Go to DEFCON 2.
Oh, baby!
What are we doing?
Michael freaking Roscoe Pascal.
Playing hot dogs and donuts with two fangirls in the locker room.
Who asked those questions?
Duh and or hello.
What?
Jay Rodius.